Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Where Do I Begin podcast. This is season 2, episode 6, and today we will be talking about what is ahead for 2024, the global economic outlook, trends, and some stocks to look out for. But before we get into all of that, I do want to say a big welcome to all the new listeners, followers. The Where Do I Begin hub is definitely growing, and I'm so glad you guys are finding the content useful. Thank you also for all the love on the last episode, especially on Spotify and Instagram. I saw a lot of shares, saved posts, and new followers as well. I think it might be the highest like viewership that I have seen on Instagram since I started the podcast. So I'm super, super grateful. So hopefully if I can be consistent, we can see more of those numbers. It definitely gives me the motivation to continue for sure. So yeah, I'm super grateful to have you guys joining me and being so supportive on this journey, and hopefully learning something along the way as well. So if you're new here, I am your host Lola, in case I didn't mention that earlier on. However, before we get into it, you guys all know the drill. We do have a lot to get into, but first I have to read out this disclaimer. So here we go. All the information presented or spoken about on this podcast is for educational and general information use only. This is not investment or financial advice. Therefore, any information discussed should not be interpreted as personalized investment advice. Before making an investment decision, please do your own research, verify information for accuracy, and speak to a financial advisor. Please beware that liability for any investment decisions made falls entirely on you. Brands, companies, or investment platforms referenced during the duration of this podcast and future episodes are for educational purposes. This podcast is not sponsored by any of the brands or companies mentioned. Any information or advice given by the guests solely represents the opinion of the guests and is independent of the Where Do I Begin podcast. So welcome guys, welcome to episode 6. I truly believe that before we can dive into what to expect for 2024, it's important to do a quick recap for 2023, because as we all know, 2023 was really a tough year. You know, it was a tough year for everyone, and if you've been investing, then I'm sure you can attest to this as well. I like to describe 2023 as a year of competing priorities, to be honest. With inflation at its peak reaching highs of 6.8% and interest rates as well reaching highs of 5.25% at certain points, the question kind of became, how do we reduce inflation, which is usually done by the use of monetary policy to, you know, curb inflation? How do we sort of reduce inflation without, you know, causing a recession? I'm sure you guys heard many rumors of, oh, we might go into a recession, or we might have a soft landing, you know, the back and forth on that. Thankfully, I would say we have managed to escape a deep recession, as asset prices proved to be more resilient. However, I think it would be disingenuous of me to say that we're completely out of the woods. We definitely are not. Interest rates are still high. People have seen their mortgage payments go up significantly, in some cases by £300, £400, £500, which is basically money that people did not, you know, plan for. And every other day on social media and the timeline, you know, there's always a side that's having a conversation about the cost of living crisis and another side making light of the cost of living crisis situation, which I guess sometimes you have to do because you have to laugh through, you know, the pain, right? So that being said, let's do a quick reflection on the global economic events that led to the cost of living crisis and inflation, which at this point I'm almost tempted to call a pandemic on its own. But yeah, so what happened in 2023? We had the Russia-Ukraine war, which was basically affecting food and energy prices. And we all know a general increase in price levels equals inflation, right? And then to curb the inflation, you know, the Bank of England has to raise interest rates. So we also had high interest rates. Then we're also dealing with global supply chain bottlenecks. So there was a global chip shortage, particularly with for semiconductors. So I'm sure a lot of you guys heard about that. I'm just gonna define quickly what supply chain bottlenecks are, for those who might not be familiar with the term. Essentially, supply chain bottlenecks are constraints that disrupt the flow of goods and services, resulting in delays and inefficiencies. Bottlenecks generally occur when process effectiveness is imbalanced. So for example, if customer demand exceeds a company's production capacity, then a bottleneck is likely to occur. So the global supply chain bottlenecks that we experienced also contributed to, you know, rising prices. We also had a tight labor market where jobs were available, however workers to do those jobs were not available. It was scarce, so unemployment was low, Although I have a feeling we will see the reverse of this in 2024, as quite a lot of people were being made redundant towards the tail end of 2023, with some firms that didn't perform as well, given everything else that was going on in the economy. So that was a quick recap of, I guess, the major events that happened in 2023. So now I think it's important for us to also look at some trends that occurred in 2023, right? Because I think that will give us an insight as to what to expect for 2024. One of the biggest trends of 2023, which I think most people will agree on, is that tech stocks did really, really well, although volatile at times. But the growing trend of AI and ChatGPT, I think, really played a pivotal role in tech stocks, you know, really skyrocketing and doing their thing. Nvidia, for example, was known as one of the superstars of 2023. I think in the second quarter of 2023, they announced that they had smashed, you know, records. They reported a profit of about 101% or something like that, which is quite, you know, significant in itself. Other trends include the decline that we're seeing in passive index investing due to people wanting to take advantage of money markets given the high interest rates, right? So, which I think was a great arbitrage opportunity in the short term if you know what you're doing as an investor. However, when situations like this occur, you will always get, you know, the usual school of thought that wants to debate if index funds or active investing, i.e. stock picking, is the best way or the most efficient way, you know, to build in wealth or to becoming a millionaire. You know, you always hear some rumbles on that side of things. And then I think the final trend that occurred in 2023 was a growth in sustainable investing, which I don't think will be slowing down, you know, anytime soon. So let's also look at the top performing stocks for 2023. I picked like the top five, and then I guess I will talk about some of the analyst sentiments about some of these companies in case you are interested in checking them out or, you know, buying the stock, because I do believe that some of these stocks that performed well in 2023 are also well positioned to perform well in 2024 based on, you know, market news and research, etc., etc. So let's look at the top five performing stocks of 2023. We have Coinbase at number one, and then we have Nvidia at number two. We have DraftKings at number three, and Meta Platforms number four, and Palantir Technologies at number five. So I'm going to go through that again with the tickers in case these are stocks you want to purchase. So Coinbase, the ticker for that is COIN, which is coin. For Nvidia, the ticker for that is NVDA. For DraftKings, the ticker for that is TANG. For Meta Platforms, the ticker for that is Meta, M-E-T-A. And then for Palantir Technologies, the ticker for that is PLTR. So with that being said, we can also review, I guess, the top performing industries. Given that I just spoke about the top performing stocks, I'm sure you wouldn't be surprised to find out that tech came out on top in terms of industries that were top performing in 2023. So according to the S&P 500, these are like the top 10 performing stocks in 2023, but I have categorized them by industry. So in terms of industry, at number one came the tech industry, at number two came communication services industry, at number three came consumer discretionary industry, at number four came industrials, and then at number five again came technology. But I guess if you look deeper into the S&P 500, there will be an explanation as to why technology came up twice, or why it's categorized differently. So for example, in the tech sector, I guess I'll classify it as top four industries now, actually. It'll be easier to group it together that way. So yeah, top four industries that did really well according to S&P 500. Let's do that instead. Okay, so in the tech industry, we had Nvidia, we had Palo Alto Networks as well. And then for communication services, the top performing, I guess, stock/platform was Meta Platforms, which is obviously the Facebook, the Instagram, all that good stuff. Then the next top performing industry was consumer discretionary, and the stocks that performed really well in that category was Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Polte Group and Tesla. This I found interesting, which I think kind of ties in with what I was saying about technology being classified differently, you know, on the S&P 500. I think Tesla is a good example of this, because depending on which part of the product line for Tesla you're reporting from, sometimes it's classified as a tech stock, other times it's classified as a consumer, you know, discretionary stock. So things like that make differences when you're analyzing, you know, performance. And this is a perfect evidence of that, essentially. The fourth, I guess, performing in industry was industrials. And the two main stocks that performed really well in that is Builders FirstSource and Uber. So now let's look at some analyst sentiments that might give you some level of confidence, you know, if you're considering looking into some of this top performing industries and stocks that performed really well in 2023. So for those who don't know, Coinbase essentially is a US-based cryptocurrency exchange, and they've managed to position themselves as, you know, super reliable space for new and experienced cryptocurrency traders. Okay, so the company's reputation, regulatory compliance, and record as a custodian has allowed them to maintain transaction fees above any of their other peers in a very crowded field with hundreds of firms competing. As we know, every other day there's a new crypto firm that has been born. And unlike traditional exchanges in the US, Coinbase fulfills multiple roles in the trading ecosystem by acting as an exchange, asset custodian, and broker. So in a way, they've managed to diversify their line of business, and so that has contributed to them being able to continue to, you know, perform well, essentially. So the company has also continued to actually branch off into adjacent businesses, you know, offering the stablecoin USDC through its partnership with Circle, a crypto debit card, blockchain infrastructure, and data analytics services. I'm sure a lot of people didn't know a crypto debit card existed, but it does, through Coinbase's partnership with Circle. So if you're definitely looking into getting more involved in crypto, I think that is something to take a look at and maybe do some research on, or speak to a crypto expert on, for sure. So let's have a look at Nvidia, which was pretty much the superstar of 2023. I think it's very clear at this point that Nvidia's prospects will be tied to the AI market, for better or for worse, basically. It's not going anywhere. But with that being said, we can also expect leading cloud vendors to continue to invest in in-house semiconductors with Alphabet, which is basically the parent company to Google, and Amazon, essentially, leading the way. So I think with the growing AI trend, I think Nvidia is definitely positioned to continue to do well in the near future. And then we also have DraftKings, and they're basically, I think, a fantasy sports company. And because sports betting is currently legal in 38 states in the US, you know, they're still positioned to essentially do well. The firm is forecasting that there will be a few more, states in the US that will be added to that list, which potentially suggests that if the government approves for sport betting to continue, and more states are acquired in this context, then it means that the government also are potentially looking to capitalize on the tax revenue that will be generated from, you know, sports betting in the US, which is basically good news for DraftKings as a firm. As a result, the forecast is saying that for North American sports betting and the iGaming market, they're expecting the revenue to reach between $40 to $50 billion US dollars in the next 10 years, essentially. So yeah, DraftKings is definitely one to look out for, maybe more so in the long-term future. I wouldn't say near-term future for that. So if sports betting is your thing, that might be another firm or stock to look into, essentially. And then obviously you have Meta Platforms, particularly Facebook, which is known as the largest social network in the world, with nearly 3 billion monthly active users. The growth in users and user engagement, along with the valuable data that they generate, makes Meta attractive to advertisers. I found this quite interesting, actually, because I guess my generation no longer use Facebook that often. But to know that it's still growing at like a significant rate is actually quite eye-opening. I thought out of all the Meta platforms, maybe Instagram was going to come up on top, but no, it's still Facebook. So I guess Facebook continues to secure that number one spot out of the Meta platforms. So yeah, so Meta platforms, again, positioned to continue to do well. So if you're a social media person and you're like, I've never thought about investing in, you know, Facebook or Instagram, et cetera, you can just invest in Meta, that covers all of it. And yeah, again, positioned to do really, really well in the near future. And then we have, finally, we have Palantir Technologies. Again, this is another stock that is well placed for long-term financial success as a leader in artificial intelligence and machine learning platform space. Palantir's two main platforms are Gotham and Foundry. And apparently they are well suited to help governments and commercial clients harness the power of data. Palantir platforms stand to materially benefit as organizations seek to expand the use of data to inform business decisions. So yeah, essentially they expect the circular tailwind to allow Palantir to land more clients whilst expanding revenue from existing ones. So those are just a few analyst sentiments that I was able to dig up concerning the top performing stocks in 2023 that are also well positioned to perform well in 2024. So hopefully that gives you some confidence to go ahead. I think most people are probably familiar with Nvidia, Meta and Coinbase. But for Palantir and DraftKings, those are two other stocks or two other industries to potentially look into a bit more if you're looking to invest in something new or an area that you're not too familiar with. So that brings us to the main part of today's episode, which is to look at 2024 outlook. So what is ahead for 2024? I think it's fair to say that we're all expecting inflation to fall. You don't have to be a investment analyst or economist to figure that out. I think everybody is sort of hoping inflation will fall, and forecasts have said it is likely to fall, but I don't think we should expect to see the effect of the drop in inflation until towards maybe third or fourth quarter. I hope that doesn't make me a pessimist, but those are my personal predictions. And when it does fall, it is forecasted that it will not fall below 3%. So as we know, in the UK, the inflation target is 2% plus minus 1%, right? So we're not quite going to meet the target at the end of 2024, but I think a drop from 6.8 to 3% is quite significant. So it's definitely something to look forward to. We can also expect cheaper energy and commodity prices. So for everybody that's, you know, been complaining about energy prices because it's gone up, some good news is on the way concerning that. You know, food prices, you go to shopping, your money is not stretching as far. We can expect, you know, food prices to fall as well in 2024. And if you are looking to get a mortgage, I would suggest possibly waiting or aiming to, you know, buy towards the second half of the year, because at that point I expect the interest rates to be more favorable at that point. So those would be my 2 cents on that. What else are people talking about in terms of the outlook for 2024? India is expected to be the fastest growing economy in 2024. And the forecast is saying that the India stock market is expected to grow by 15% next year. Analysts have also recommended that if you are going to invest in India, you should be investing there based on company earnings and not market size or otherwise market cap for those that are in finance. So if you're looking to invest in India, you need to be looking at company earnings and not the market capitalization as a valuation metric, essentially. This is why I think I had mentioned in previous episodes when you're thinking, okay, how do I know what stock to invest in, etc., etc. Obviously, I spoke about valuation metrics in the past, and I spoke about how it's important to be able to understand the income statement, the financial statement of a company. But if you don't want to bother your head with that, then looking at things like the PE ratio, which is the price to earnings ratio, I think I spoke about that being the quickest method that you can use to essentially value a stock, right? So you can look at the PE ratio, compare it to the industry's average PE ratio, then compare it to the historical PE ratio, and that will let you know if the stock is being overvalued or if it's been, you know, undervalued. So instead of, in this case, using market cap as evaluation metric, I think the quickest metric to use would be the price to earnings ratio, otherwise the company's earnings slash income statement slash financial statements. So yeah, you can easily just Google a firm or a stock or a fund in India and find out what the PE ratio is on Google, and then compare it to the industry PE, the average industry PE, and historical PE, and that will tell you all that you need to know essentially on whether the stock is overvalued or undervalued. And so yeah, hope that helps you guys. That was a quick recap on what PE ratio is. But yeah, so for investing in India, Bank of America actually, I've suggested to look into Wisdom Tree India Earnings Fund. Again, this is based on my research, so no one from Bank of America has specifically told me to tell you guys to invest in this fund. This is based on my research, which is also publicly available to everyone. So everything I'm discussing essentially is public information. It's a type of ETF as well. So for the Wisdom Tree India Earnings Fund, the ticker for that is INDA. And the good thing about, I guess, this fund is that it covers a wide array of sectors across the Indian economy. And again, it prioritizes companies based on their earnings and not their market size, because a company can have a huge market size, but their earnings or their cash flow is not really where it needs to be. So that's why you also can't look at valuation metrics in isolation, which is why I've always said from the beginning, valuation is ultimately about the vantage point, and you cannot look at any individual metric in isolation. You always have to compare it to what's going on in the industry, what's going on with competitors, etc., etc. So I hope that helps as well. Another area to look out for in 2024 is the Japanese market. According to BlackRock, their sentiment is to remain overweight on stocks in the Japanese market, especially given that they've just come out of a sustained period of deflation, right? So I think in Japan they are seeing that inflation is trending above the Bank of Japan's inflation target rate. So as we know, the same way in the UK, the Bank of England has tried to curb inflation with interest rates, you know, Japan is doing the same on their end. And if they continue to follow through with that, that's going to lead to the strengthening of the Japanese yen. And because of that foreign exchange risk, I think the best way to go about investing in Japanese stocks or funds is to invest in a country's assets without hedging, you know, the exposure. So to do that, a fund that could potentially be one to look at would be buying the iShares MSCI Japan ETF. The ticker for that is EWJ. And essentially, this fund provides broad unhedged exposure to Japanese stocks. So with that being said, we can now move on to stocks to look out for in 2024. These are not an exhaustive list, and remember I mentioned earlier that there are some stocks that did really well in 2023 that are also positioned to do well in 2024. So again, this is not an exhaustive list, but these are additional stocks to essentially look at. And if you don't currently do stock picking and you just invest in funds, depending on which platform you use, normally they give you a breakdown of the stocks that the fund is investing in. So you can always make sure to check if any of these stocks that I'm mentioning are included in the funds that you currently hold or that you currently essentially invest in. So coming in at number one, it's Alphabet. Alphabet is the parent company to Google. And essentially the two major tailwinds that is expected to help it grow even further in 2024 is the advertising arm of the company and artificial intelligence. So AI again coming into play. Alphabet announced recently their latest iteration of Gemini generative AI model, which has received top marks in multiple tests. So even though when it comes to AI, we're still pretty much in the very, very early stages, this is a form of thematic investing where you would be essentially investing in the growth of AI technology, right? Not necessarily to make profit in 2 years' time, but maybe in five, in 10, because essentially you're investing in the future. So yeah, Alphabet is definitely a stock to add to your watch list for 2024. Coming in at number two is Amazon. I don't think we should be surprised here. Amazon has been doing really, really well, and their profit margins actually dramatically increased throughout 2023 thanks to efficiency initiatives from Amazon CEO Andy Jassy. It is also expected that the Amazon Web Services cloud computing business will bounce back this year and will be in demand again. So essentially this could contribute to even higher profit margins. So I would definitely say do not sleep on Amazon at all. Coming in at number three is Airbnb. The ticker for that is ABNB. And despite the short-term rental ban that they experienced in 2023, they've continued to do well. So in Q3, the revenue for Airbnb rose by 18%, which was about $3.4 billion. And the company essentially converted nearly 40% of its revenue into free cash flow. So that basically means whatever happens with the economy in 2024, Airbnb will still essentially be a cash generating machine, giving it an opportunity to sort of, you know, buy back its own stock, which is already discounted, and making it a solid pick essentially for 2024. So yeah, at number four coming in is CrowdStrike. They're essentially a cybersecurity firm. Sorry, I don't have the ticker for this one. But yeah, they're a hot button topic for a lot of companies. As we know, especially with the growth of AI, you know, protecting data, customer information, you know, protecting internal resources at firms and institutions have become increasingly important. And also just wanting to ward away cyber criminals that have become more sophisticated is an area of concern for a lot of firms and institutions. So CrowdStrike essentially is placed to perform really well because there is cybersecurity business that offers protection to cover all those various areas I just mentioned. So if you've never thought about, I could invest in cybersecurity stock, CrowdStrike is a cybersecurity stock that you can potentially look at as well. And then the next one on the list is Taiwan Semiconductor. The ticker for that is TSM. They are also positioned to have a very, very strong 2024 performance because their chips are starting to reach full production, boosting revenue as products like the iPhone and NVIDIA's GPUs integrate game-changing technology into their products as well. So essentially, if a stock is trading at 16 times its predicted earnings for 2024, then there's a suggestion there that it could be a good buy for right now, basically. So you can potentially buy it for your portfolio right now. And then the final stock I am going to speak about in terms of the watch list for 2024 is Adobe. The ticker for this one is ADBE. And although Adobe is known for its digital media creation tools, it is also starting to expand into generative AI. To be fair, when I came across this, I was just thinking to myself, at this point, I'm going to have to go read the AI working paper because AI seems to be tied to a lot of things, and a lot of companies are incorporating it into their business models, right? So I think I'll go read up on the working paper for AI and maybe come back and do an episode on AI and investing, and you know what that looks like for the future, and maybe how that might impact us as well as retail investors, whether in a positive, you know, or a negative way, right? So yeah, Adobe is a quiet one, and I think it's definitely one to look out for. At the moment, I think Adobe is currently trading at 30 times its predicted 2024 earnings. So it's very much entering the year at an attractive price. So I know some of these stocks may not be stocks you've heard about before, or maybe firms you've heard about, but you just didn't think you could invest in them, like Adobe, because everyone uses PDF files, right? But, you know, I do find companies like this very interesting when you go do a little bit of digging to actually see like, raw, like they're actually performing really, really well. So yeah, if you don't want to do the obvious ones like the Google, or the Amazon, or the Tesla, Adobe's one to, you know, potentially look into as well. So that brings us to the final part of this episode, where I am going to discuss the trends for 2024. So the first trend, I'm sure at this point you can guess it, is the AI revolution. Again, as I mentioned earlier, AI is still very much in its baby steps. I don't know if we can call AI an infant, or I don't know if we can say AI is at its infancy stage or its toddler stage at the moment, but let's just say baby steps to cover what I'm saying. However, I think it's very clear that a lot of firms are going to be integrating AI into a lot of the things that they're doing and pivoting their entire business essentially to focus on artificial intelligence a bit more. So BlackRock, for example, remains bullish when it comes to AI, and their recommendation is to keep an overweight position on the AI theme for the next 6 to 12 months. I would even say maybe longer, to be fair, because I don't think AI is going anywhere. But, you know, again, this is publicly available information. No one from BlackRock told me to say this. So just, you know, putting the disclaimer out there. So if you do want to look at, you know, getting some AI exposure or investing in artificial intelligence, there are a few funds you can look at. And the first is Invesco QQQ Trust Series ETF. The ticker for that is QQQ, nice and easy. So you can look into that. Or you can look at the iShares Semiconductor ETF. The ticker for that is SOXX. Or if you're looking for a more active investing approach, then you can consider the ARK Innovative, or ARK Innovation ETF, sorry. And the ticker for that is ARKK. For those who've been following me for a long time, you remember I did a whole episode on ARK, which is basically Cathie Wood's baby, Cathie Wood's company, basically. So if you want to learn more about ARK Innovation ETF and Cathie Wood's, and what essentially the firm invests in, and, you know, her investment philosophy, then you should definitely check out episode 2 in season 2 to learn more about that. So yeah, the second trend to look at is the future of finance. And basically the future of finance, again, is that everything is going digital. So with that being said, BlackRock has currently got their eye on India's system of digital payments, which they see is very well positioned to benefit from, you know, things going digital essentially. So the stock to look at for this one would be the iShares MSCI India ETF. Ticker for that is INDA. And yeah, they are essentially positioned to do well in 2024. An alternative to that is to look at the Goldman Sachs Business Development Company. So that's, I think that's the fund as well. So I think the ticker for that is GSBD, and it has a pretty attractive indicated return of 12%. So yeah, that is definitely something to keep in mind as well. The third trend I'm going to talk about is climate resilience. Obviously I touched on it lightly earlier on about seeing a growth in sustainable investing, ESG, etc., etc. So trend three is definitely climate resilience, especially when it comes to the low carbon transition economy that we're always hearing about every year. I think from what I could see, based on my research, the low carbon transition is an important opportunity, particularly in Latin America and other countries that have large reserves of key resources like copper and lithium, which would be very important for the future. So if you're feeling a little bit adventurous, you can definitely check out the iShares MSCI Chile ETF. The ticker for that is ECH. Another ETF that you could look at, this is going to be a bit challenging for me to say out loud because I have not been practicing my Spanish in a long time. So please forgive me if I butcher this. So another ETF to consider is the Sociedad Química y Mineral de Chile, and that is the SQM. I'm sure I butchered that, but we move. The ticket for that is SQM. So if you're looking to invest in Latin America, there are lots of opportunities there when it comes to making money as far as, you know, investing in companies or funds or stocks that are working towards providing and essentially improving the environment. So yeah, the final trend I'm going to talk about, which actually is the most exciting trend for me to talk about, is medical innovation supercharged by AI in an aging population. I found this one the most interesting, and essentially because we have an increase in aging population, I think we all know that this has been weighing down the healthcare systems across the world. Particularly in the UK, people always complain about the NHS, how they're understaffed and this, that, and the third. So with healthcare, I guess, organizations partnering with AI, that could definitely revolutionize care and potentially provide solutions to some of these problems. The other interesting thing about, I guess, medical innovation being supercharged by AI is that AI models can swiftly process vast amounts of health data, including clinical studies, brain maps, and genetic information, which actually outpace human abilities. That accelerated analysis has the potential to save biotech companies 25 to 50% of the time and cost they currently spend on bringing in new drugs to the market. Research also suggests that by 2025, over 30% of new drugs will be discovered through generative AI techniques. As you know, there's been many times when a drug has been, you know, I guess approved to be used on the market. And when I say drug, I mean like for health purposes. I don't mean like illegal drugs. And then it's had to be pulled back because, you know, a side effect or something happened, a side effect was noticed that was affecting people in a way, and then, you know, they've now had to go back and, you know, investigate that, improve on that particular item, or just bring out a new drug entirely, right? So, you know, this is where AI can come in and help, you know, sort of reduce errors in that way. And currently, I think the AI healthcare market has been valued at $9 billion. And based on projections, over 40% annual growth, they're expecting the market to reach $188 billion by 2031. So as you can see, this is a very, very like high growth, you know, area to potentially invest in. I know some people on the other hand will argue that, oh, healthcare stocks did not do that well, you know, in 2023. But that was mainly because of high interest rates, which worked against their valuations essentially. But there are some funds that you can invest in that could offer you the opportunity to invest in healthcare stocks that essentially are partnering with the use of AI to improve healthcare and just, you know, make people's lives easier and provide solutions to an aging population. So the first ETF fund to consider investing in would be iShares Healthcare Innovation UCITS ETF. And the ticker for that is H-E-A-L, which I think is really cute because that spells heal. And then the second fund to consider is iShares Neuroscience and Healthcare ETF. And the ticker for that is IBRN. The next one to consider is Fidelity Disruptive Medicine ETF. And the ticker for that is FMED. And then the last one to consider is Van Eck Genomics and Healthcare Innovators UCITS ETF. And the ticker for that is another cute one, CURE, which spells cure essentially. But yeah, hopefully, those are some useful funds to look into. And I think what I loved about putting this together especially is a lot of the recommendations that I got were funds, which helps you sort of reduce risk if you are not great at, like, you know, stock picking. But if you prefer to stock pick, obviously I already mentioned a few companies earlier that you can invest in directly for your investment portfolio as well, so the likes of Alphabet, Amazon, etc., etc. And the funny thing is, for some of these companies you will also find them in funds as well, so I guess it just depends on what you want to do and where you are skilled as far as, like, investing goes. And then the last part I wanted to really discuss when it comes to the applications of AI in healthcare is, I know there's been a lot of posts going around, which I don't know if it's generating fear mongering or if it's giving people things to think about, you know, as far as, oh my God, AI is going to come and take all our jobs, we'll be out of jobs, what's going to happen to our livelihoods, etc., etc., which I found really, really interesting. But there's also a flip side to that, right? Whilst AI or the use of AI is going to bring in a lot of, like, improvements and might mean that certain jobs are no longer as relevant, I think in some areas it will actually produce other job opportunities for people. So this, I probably think, is the most important part, or one of the most important parts of today's podcast to pay attention to, because I came across this amazing diagram, right, which I thought, oh my God, I definitely have to, you know, talk about this on the podcast. And the reason why I wanted to talk about it is because on a very, very basic level, it's very easy for someone to say, oh, apart from, you know, AI helping to improve, you know, the management of data in healthcare, or the absurd possibility of a robot at some point in the future doing surgery on people, if one was to ever need it, what are really the other applications of AI in healthcare, right? So that's what I'm going to talk to you about now, actually. So the first application of AI in healthcare is AI can be used in rare disease and diagnostics and treatment research. So I think that could potentially have a positive impact. Actually, not potentially, it will have a positive impact when it comes to, like, providing treatments for, like, and diagnosing, like, rare diseases, right? So I think that's a positive thing. Then you also have the virtual nursing assistants. This one I'm in two minds about, just because, you know, there is such a thing as creator's bias when it comes to AI, and I don't think AI is at a stage where it's completely foolproof just yet. And, you know, we've heard stories of people, you know, using ChatGPT, for example, for, I don't know, essays or interviews, and they just sound real robotic, right? It doesn't sound real. Or in cases where we've had cases where people have used ChatGPT for research, and some parts of the research has been altered. So although it would be useful in the context of using it as a virtual nursing assistant, I think this is one that has the potential to also be controversial, right? That one is a question mark. But another application of AI in healthcare is to look at fraud detection. I think that would definitely be very useful. Cybersecurity, obviously protecting patients, you know, personal and confidential details is very, very key. And then the next one would be gene editing. This one stood out to me because, fun fact about me actually, if I didn't work in finance or I wasn't interested in investing, I would have actually worked in genetics. Yeah, that was always my, that was where my initial interest was, you know, finishing secondary school, actually, funny enough. I never wanted to be a doctor, but I definitely wanted to study genetics, right? So when I saw this diagram and it spoke about, you know, gene editing being another area where AI can be used, I was like, interesting. Now, obviously, this is another area that can be very controversial, right? Because why are we editing genes? Are we editing genes to, as a way to provide a cure for like a disease to save someone's life, or are we editing genes to create superhumans? Like, you know, so I think there's like ethical considerations here to think about as well when it comes to, you know, applications of AI in healthcare. Another area is what I mentioned funnily earlier, which is AI robot assisted surgery. I am not down for this. I am definitely not down for this. I don't think there's any convincing that anyone can do for this one. But yeah, that's not an area that I particularly agree with. But you know, it could be beneficial. There could be potential benefits. So I think that's another area that is definitely controversial, in healthcare for sure. And then another application of, AI in healthcare is health monitoring and wearables. That definitely is needed. Another area is personalized healthcare plans. I think that would definitely bring a lot of efficiency and save a lot of time for doctors, as well as sort of filling that gap where staff is, where NHS staff, for example, are currently, you know, understaffed in certain areas. So I think using AI for personalized healthcare plans could definitely come in really handy. Another area is cancer research. I think this one would be a big one, given that there is no cure that has been found, although conspiracy theorists would probably suggest otherwise. So, yeah, I think this one could definitely have a positive impact, of the application of AI. If we can find a cure for cancer using AI, then, you know, it's a win, and I think a win should be celebrated. Another area is dosage error reduction. Again, this is another one I'm not too sure about, and could potentially be controversial. I'm just going to leave that there. And then another area is medical diagnosis. This could work out, you know, this could work out quite well. I don't see why this should be controversial. I don't know. It's another one to think about. And then the final one is obviously drug development. Yeah, which I think should definitely create a lot of operational efficiencies and hopefully reduce the percentage of medicines or drugs that are called back from time to time. So essentially, that brings us to the end of the episode. I hope you guys have enjoyed it, found it useful. Thank you for listening. Please do share, follow, comment, subscribe, like, all that good stuff. Leave a review, ask a question. If you do have any questions about anything that I mentioned in this episode or future episodes, please feel free to just send a DM on Instagram at @wheredoibegin_pod, or you can just drop me an email at info.wheredoibeginpod@gmail.com. So again, the Instagram page is @wheredoibegin_pod, or you can drop me an email at info.wheredoibeginpod@gmail.com. Hope you guys have found that super, super duper useful, and now you have some idea of what to look forward to in 2024, and some areas, industries, and stocks you can, you know, invest in, as well as funds you can invest in. Hopefully you've learned some stuff about AI on this episode as well. I'm learning alongside you guys, to be fair. I will definitely try and do the AI and investing episode at some point before the end of this season. But I think the next episode I will be talking about the poll I did last week, which is surrounding investing for children and and opening custodial accounts and trusts and things like that. It seems there's a lot of interest in that. So that will probably be the next episode. And but in the meantime, if there are any other topics that you would like me to cover that I have not covered in previous episodes, then please feel free to drop me a message on Instagram or send me an email. And I look forward to speaking with you guys in the next episode. Hope you have a great week ahead. Take care. Bye.